Hi, this is Sean Benson from Harvest Church in Warrensburg, Missouri. I want to thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. For more resources, log on to harvestwarrensburg.com.
Awesome, awesome. So, hey, the last few weeks, we have been kind of on a journey to the cross. It's our Easter series, talking about what Jesus did on that cross and ultimately what the impact of that is on our life today. And in the historical timeline that we've kind of been following here, Jesus not only died on the cross, but 3 days later, he also rose again. And so now we find ourselves, this was 2 weeks ago that Jesus rose again on the historical timeline. So we find ourselves in this interesting place where, okay, so Jesus has risen from the grave under his own power. He's raised up. He's conquered death. Now what? So now what do we do? I want to submit to you, what we do now is wait. Now we wait. We wait on God. It fascinates me, this period of time that we're in. Jesus, he post-resurrection, I'll get it right. We only have one service to get it right, so you had to pray for me to get it right in this one service because I don't get a do-over at the like I'm used to. So post-resurrection, Jesus began to reveal himself to hundreds of people. And in that time, in this time of waiting, he actually gave us some instruction. Luke chapter 24, verse 49 was one such instruction. He says, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Acts chapter 1, we find similar instruction, and Jesus calls this being clothed with power the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so what do we do during this time? Well, we wait. We wait. I find it utterly fascinating that we're here, and listen, only God could orchestrate this. It's fascinating to me. Well, let me say it this way. I wish sometimes that I was the kind of organized, not that I'm disorganized, it's just do it differently, but the kind of organized pastor that has it all lined out and I get the download from Holy Spirit on this is the timeline and this is how you're going to preach and what you're going to do and yada yada. I don't, that's just not me. That's not how it works for me. I usually go week by week. I have no idea how many sessions that we're going to have. We're getting ready. Obviously, we're introducing Holy Spirit today. I have no idea how far we're going to go with that. And so only God can orchestrate something like what we're experiencing now, which is that here we find ourselves in this historical time frame. We find ourselves at post-resurrection, like we followed the Jesus series like all the way through, and now historically speaking, they were waiting for Holy Spirit in the upper room at the exact same time that we make the shift in this series in talking about Holy Spirit. Now listen, I desperately want it for you to be here for this series. But it's super clear that this is the Lord's timing in being able to introduce the third member of the Trinity to you. But here's what I find fascinating. I believe the Lord began to speak to me this last week. You know how we talked about with Easter that the blood of the Lamb was still effective in putting a stay on this plague. This Easter that we just had, this Passover that we just celebrated, was the first one that looked like the original prototype. It was the first time that we had celebrated a Passover or Easter like that in 3,000 years, actually more than 3,000 years. And I submitted to you that all of the data that the government was putting out showed that the curve was probably going to climax over Easter and that it would begin to come down. This is why we were able to come today with the surprise. Hey, surprise. We're able to actually begin to meet together because the reality is that at Easter, this thing peaked and it's literally begun to come down. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is still effective at putting a stay on the plague. You can see it. You see it in the proof is in the numbers. That thing is beginning to come down. And here's what I believe God began to speak to me. In the same way as we just experienced a historic Easter, a historic Passover, I believe he's setting us up for a historic Pentecost. I believe that we are in this. Sorry, get myself under control. I believe that we're in a 50-day period of time. where God is once again preparing us for something powerful. You'll remember the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in like a rushing wind, and everybody in the city knew that Holy Spirit just showed up. Tongues of fire presented themselves, and he wrecked everything for the ordinary. Listen, I really believe that we're in a historic period of time. And I find myself like, when we made this shift into this season, man, Misty and I were busy. We were working hard trying to get the soundboard to work and the live streaming stuff. And we were hitting those late night prayer meetings. Man, we were tired. We were working some long hours. We kind of exited out of that. We've gotten into a place where things are a little bit smooth. And I would like, spit all over the place. Good thing there's nobody on the front row. I would love nothing more than to pull back and just start just watching some TV for a little while. Okay? Like, I want to be honest with you. Like, right now, I would like to just go, hey, let's binge watch, you know, something crazy. What's an old show or something we haven't seen? Like, I just like get my kids around and let's unplug and let's do nothing. Everybody keeps talking, what are you doing with all that extra time that you've got? I'm like, what time? I'm busier now than ever. Like, I've never had that experience of what extra time do you have? You know, and so I'm like, I would like to have some extra time, but I feel God saying that right now is not the season for us to check out. Right now is not the time for us to flip on the TV. Now is not the time for us to stop pressing in the place of prayer and to just call it, you know, hey, let's take it easy for a little while until this thing blows over. No, this is not the season for that. I just really believe, listen, I'm tired. Like, all right, like in my flesh, I'd like to check out and do nothing. But I believe God is calling us in this time up to Pentecost. I believe he is calling us yet again to press in the place of prayer. And I'm just saying, like, what if just as we had a historic Easter, a historic Passover, what if God is positioning us for a historic Pentecost? And here's the worst part. What if we miss it because we were checking out and binge watching Netflix? What if we missed it because we wanted to be lazy? We wanted to just, sit around the pool and get some sun and do nothing. What if we missed it? What if God is literally waiting for partners to partner with him, to pray in his desire for planet Earth, to break in an unprecedented way, in an unprecedented way? What if God has an invitation? And I'm telling you, it's more than a what if. I believe God's giving you an invitation. And I believe we've got to take it seriously. And I believe that we have to begin to press in the place of prayer. So we haven't scheduled it yet, but we're going to put a few more prayer meetings on the list. And hopefully as we get past May 3rd, we'll be able to actually meet with some of you in person to be able to do that. We have the National Day of Prayer coming up, on the 7th. Please join us online for that as well. You know, but what we have coming up, I want to submit this to you. I don't want to miss it. And it's contingent on, like, every revival that has ever happened on planet Earth has been preceded by people who are pressing in the place of prayer. This is the season. God's calling us to press in the place of prayer right now. And the other thing that I believe that he's calling us to do is to repent. He's calling us back into a place of repentance. He's calling us to look at the way that we've mistreated Holy Spirit, the way that we've mistreated one another, the things that we've done, the habits, the behaviors, the stuff that we've gotten ourselves entangled with. He's calling us to retreat back into his presence and to allow him to identify those things that have been prohibitive in us entering into our calling and seeing heaven come to earth. Right? This is the season. It's the season to press in the place of prayer, and it's the season to repent. He's calling us into something significant. I believe it's coming. Do you believe it's coming? Will you partner with us? Will you press in with us in this place? Will you join our hearts and our minds together in the place of unity? Because I'm telling you, a praying church praying together in a place of unity is an unstoppable church. His kingdom will come. And his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a historic season. Will you partner with us to usher it in? I believe it's a timely call in light of believing this is the season to introduce Holy Spirit to you. And so with that, I want to talk to you I wanted to say this. I wanted to talk to you about my friend, but I want to submit to you, I don't know him as well as I would like to know him. Do you want to know him? We just sing that song, right? I want to know you, Lord. Right? Do you want to know Holy Spirit? Who is Holy Spirit? What is Holy Spirit? Do you know? I mean, is Holy Spirit the hyper-charismatic, weird manifestation of God that we're supposed to, like, avoid? Is he an impersonal force that, you know, we don't really have any dealings with him? Especially because his job is to reveal the Son. So, like, if he exalts Jesus, then maybe we should ignore him, and maybe we should just exalt Jesus. Is that what Holy Spirit is? He's just a catalyst. He's just a go-between, a mediator to build up Jesus. Is that what he is? And we shouldn't actually draw too much attention to him because we don't want to take it away from Jesus. Is he the stepchild of the Trinity, you know, like the silent third partner? You know, it's like he's the power arm of God, but that's all he does is he kind of just does, you know, he's like the servant. You know, he's like the extension of the power of God on earth. But again, at the end of the day, we're not really supposed to have any action or any interactions with him. What grieves me about this is that people believe one or more of these lies about Holy Spirit, when the Bible couldn't be more clear on the subject that Holy Spirit is God. Did you know that this morning? Did you know that Holy Spirit is 100% God? We have Father God, we have Son God, S-O-N. We have Holy Spirit God. He's not the stepchild of the Trinity. He's not the silent third partner. He's not a force or a manifestation of God that we're to ignore. He is God. He is God. See, that should change the way that we interact with him. Do you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? In the New Testament, we find this story. It's a crazy story, really, to a large degree. But if you'll remember, Ananias and Sapphira, it was during this period of outpouring, this period of revival that we find captured in the book of Acts. And in this period of revival, everybody was, they were contributing to the church, to the first church. How many of you know it takes money, right? It took money then, it takes money now in order to advance the kingdom. And they were selling property and houses and extra things that they had and sowing it into the church to advance God's kingdom on earth. It was a wonderful thing that was happening. Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to be a part of that. They had some extra property. You know, they agreed together with themselves to sell the property for a certain price, but then to tell the church that it was actually a lesser price so that they could take some cash for themselves, right? This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Listen to this. I want you to see what it says about Holy Spirit God here in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 3. Peter responds, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land?" To lie to who? He's lying to the Holy Spirit, right? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to Holy Spirit? Verse 4, we skip to the last part. Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. You have lied to God. He says, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Now he's saying you have lied to God. What is he saying? Did you catch it? He's saying Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is God. Let me give you a couple of other examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy God? That's talking about you. Now, you could just as well replace of and put for. It would be an accurate description as well. You are a temple for God. What does that mean? That means that this construct that you have, your body, is a mobile temple. You're a mobile home. Did you know that? Kind of escalates it to a whole new level, right? We should all aspire. Like, I want a tricked out mobile home, man. I carry Holy Spirit around with me, carry God around with me. It says, we were made for God. What does that mean? That means we house him. That means he inhabits us, right? Here it specifically says we are a temple of or for God. And then it continues. and that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. Wait a second, let me get this right. If I'm a temple, if I have actually been designed by God to be inhabited by God, then what's Holy Spirit doing in there? Unless, of course, Holy Spirit is God. I think you can see my point. This last one, this is one. Excuse me. One in between. The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And the moment that we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have to acknowledge that the inference is that they're all three on an equal plane. We're baptizing people in the name of the Father, Father God, the Son God, and Holy Spirit God. They're all three equal. Now listen to this last one. I want to give you this one last example because this is the one that captured me so many years ago and really wrecked the way that I relate with Holy Spirit. Okay, listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. I think it says 1 Corinthians on the board. You'll have to figure it out. I think it's actually 2 Corinthians. I think that's just an error. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." This first part of that I want to concentrate on. The Lord is the Spirit. Now, when I first read this scripture, the fear of God came on me. Because if it's saying the Holy Spirit is Lord, he's saying the Holy Spirit is God. So he's God, he's Lord. And if Holy Spirit is Lord, then that means I have to obey him. You understand? He's like, which is the most important member of the Trinity? You ever thought about that? Who's the most important member of the Trinity? Father, Son, or Holy Spirit? If your answer was none, they're all equal, then you got it right. Which means that Holy Spirit being on an equal status of God, when he speaks, he's speaking as God, he is God. When he speaks, I have to obey. I have to listen. Here's what's so scary about this to me. When Holy Spirit speaks, sometimes he is so incredibly subtle. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that about him? He's so incredibly subtle, and I can miss what he's saying. That doesn't diminish that it's God who's saying it. Let me give you an example. I've done this. It's been a while, thank you, Jesus, but I've done it several times. So let's see if you can relate to this story. Have you ever had one of those moments when you pull up from work, it's crazy hot, it's a summer day, you know, and when you pull into the house, if you're like me, like my truck doesn't fit in the garage, I need to build a bigger garage, right? You know, but my truck doesn't fit in the garage, so it has to stay outside, okay? And so I'm like, you know, looking around going, man, it's like 100 degrees outside, there's not a single cloud in the entire sky. And so I crack my windows all the way around about this far. Ever done that? Right? And have you ever done it and you thought to yourself, I probably shouldn't do that today. And you're like, there is literally not a cloud in the sky. The sun is ridiculous. It's ablaze. The sky is blue, you know? And so you're like, you just ignore it. You're like, okay, no big deal. Obviously I drank some weird Kool-Aid or something. I had some bad pizza, right? And you completely dismiss it. And about 2 a.m. you hear this. And it wakes you up. And all of a sudden you realize there's a deluge outside and a summer storm rolled in. And now it's 2 a.m. and your truck with the windows down this far is actually getting completely drenched. You don't even know if the power windows are going to work anymore because the whole console is just filled with water. And in that moment you go, oh, I guess I was hearing God. I guess that was God who warned me. I guess I shouldn't have ignored that voice. That was actually Holy Spirit who was talking to me. Anybody ever have that testimony? Okay, sadly, I've had that testimony more than once, okay? Somewhere in here, I'm going to have to actually get a hold of this. Hey, God is speaking to me. But I can tell you, this is a story from my own life, I'm sure as it is for many of you as well. But see, you've heard that voice, and you've heard that voice in other contexts of your life as well. Let me give you another example. It's kind of like this. It's you're at the grocery store. Maybe you're at Walmart, because Walmart's insane. You know, no matter what season it is, and you're at the cash register, and you hear this still small voice whisper, "You ought to pray for your cashier." Now, there's several things happening in this moment. You're looking into the eyes of your cashier, and she actually hates you. Like, you're thinking, you're like, look, this woman is having a bad, like, if I even so much as mention prayer, she may actually eat off my face. And so, like, so that's the first thing. You're like, you convince yourself, I can't be hearing God because, did you see that woman's face? Like, listen, that woman will eat my face. I like my face. I actually want to be able, like, you know, like, so that's the first thing. The second thing is we look around and we're like, there's 15 people in line. You know, and so we dismiss it. We're like, God can't possibly have me pray for this cashier. Number one, there's like 15 people. I don't want to be that guy who's holding up the line, right? And I'm feeling a little uncomfortable, to be honest. I'm going to pray in front of all these 15 people. That seems weird to me. And did you see the chick's eyes? And so what we end up doing is we walk away from the cash register, right? The moment that we walk away from that cash register, we became disobedient to God. And see, here's the thing. With this scenario, I'll even take it to another level. There's some of us who were trying to discern, was that God? Was that my flesh? First of all, listen, if you hear, I ought to pray for this lady, let me just throw this out there. If you ever hear that, ever, it's not you, it's God. There you go. That ought to pretty much settle that for you. Don't ever question it again. Listen, there's 15 people in line. You saw the lady's eyes. If you hear, I ought to pray for this person, that's not your flesh. And it sure as heck isn't the devil trying to tempt you. Boy, you really ought to pray for this lady. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, I don't know. The last time I checked, prayer is like the most powerful thing I've got in my arsenal. Like, and the devil's not going to ask me to pull out my sword of prayer and release it over this lady's life and pour out blessing on her, right? And he's, like, it's not the devil, and it's not you and your flesh, because you wouldn't do that anyway. Well, that really only leaves one other source. It was him. The moment you step away from the cash register is the moment that you were disobedient to God and to his command to pray for this individual. But it's worse than that, as I started to say a second ago. Because some of us, in this process of discerning God's voice, we're pretty sure it was God who said it. But we're looking at the line, and we're looking at the lady's eyes, a little bit of fire coming out of her ears, right? And we're looking at our clocks, and like, I've got to pick up the kids from school, I'm already running a little late, and we've got all these excuses, and while we're pretty sure maybe God spoke to us, we walk away from that cash register anyway, and we don't do what we heard. We don't do what we were asked. The moment that we walk away from that cash register, we're disobedient. We're disobedient. I want to put a finer point on this. The moment that you walk away from that cash register, having heard God say, you need to pray for this lady, the moment that you deny that, you've actually just moved into sin. Let's call it what it is. It's not just disobedience. It's not just, oh, it'll be okay, it's not a big deal. No, you actually just sinned against God. See, this is why it's such a big deal to have a right understanding of who Holy Spirit is. And if Holy Spirit is God, then when he speaks, even in a still small whisper, I have to obey, because not obeying him is sin. Huh. Now think back to all of those times when that still small voice whispered and you walked away and blew it off. What do you think happens to somebody who continually blows off the Holy Spirit, God, and doesn't do what he's asking you to do? What do you think happens? Huh? At bare minimum, I would say this. What happens is he stops talking to you. Wait a second. I thought you said, like, he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me. Yeah, that's true. That's our God. He'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. But there's a sense in which he will retreat from you, off of you. See, because he rests upon you, we'll talk more about this in this series, for others. And if you're untrustworthy, if you're unwilling to be obedient, he will find someone who is. I want to submit to you this morning, if it has been a while since you've even heard the Holy Spirit ask you to step out of the boat and do something perhaps that's a little bit uncomfortable or outside of your comfort zone, maybe you've offended him, and maybe he's just not asking anymore. As we begin to introduce Holy Spirit, who is fully God, I want you to search your hearts. I want you to search your history with him. I want you to really ask that question. When was the last time I heard him ask me to step out? And if the answer is, I can't remember the last time, it's time to repent. It's time to ask him to come back. It's time to present yourself for a second chance. Now, I know as soon as I say this, there are some people out there that are listening right now, and you're like, wait a second, let me get this right. If I disobey, he will stop asking me to step out of my comfort zone? When? Some of you are like literally going, let me get this right. So if I actually say no, he'll choose somebody else. Remember Moses, right? Like, choose somebody else. I don't think I'm the best candidate. Some of you, you don't feel like you're the best candidate. Well, let me just tell you this. He wouldn't be asking if he thought that you weren't the right candidate. And do you really want to live the rest of your life falling short of destiny? Do you really want to live the rest? Because this is the reality. If you continue to say no to God because you don't want to step outside of your comfort zone, if that's the zone that you live in, your entire life you will be discontented. Your entire life you will feel like there's got to be more than this. There's got to be something that I'm missing. Yeah, you're missing obedience. You're missing obedience. You have to say yes to him. And as you begin to say yes, he trusts you with more. And all of a sudden, you have assignments that literally change the world. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want assignments that change the world. Well, he's not just going to give me one out of the blocks. I have to be faithful in the small. Isn't that what the word says? That if I'm faithful with the small, he'll entrust me with much. You have to be faithful with what he's given. I'm telling you, you don't want to be discontented for the rest of your life, falling short of the glory of God, falling short of the destiny, the purposes that he has for you. Many years ago, I wasn't going to use this example. My beautiful wife, who most of you know these days as a public speaker, literally made a vow before God never to speak in public. It's kind of hard to believe now because she does it with such amazing grace and such authority and such power. But listen, had she never listened and obeyed to Holy Spirit and repented to Holy Spirit for her vow that she made, you would never be able to receive from her ministry today. Because she would be a wallflower. She would be off in the back, you know, and she would be trying to convince herself of the lie that she was designed by God to serve in the kitchen and to do all the behind the scenes stuff. See, I've heard her say these things over the years. I'm the behind the scenes person. I'm not supposed to be front and center. I'm not supposed to be the one out front. Oh, that's you, Sean. That's your calling. Well, it is my calling, but guess what? It was hers as well. And little things like personality become excuses for our disobedience. Oh, I'm not that kind of person. I'm an S personality on the DISC profile. And, you know, that's a service role. And we don't like to rock the boat. And we don't like confrontation. And, you know, we don't really like being the center of attention. And we're not really like the out front leaders. So I can't possibly be called to any of that. That's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. See, remember what we started out with this morning? It was never about you. I feel a little bit insufficient. Well, that's pretty good because he's got it all covered anyway, right? God can't possibly call me to step out on the waters like that. I can't walk on water. No, you can't. But with him and his empowerment, you can walk, and your personalities and all your baggage and all your stuff is no excuse. Listen, when you disobey the Holy Spirit, you're disobeying God himself, and it is sin, and we need to repent. And this is an hour, this is a frame of time that he's giving us where we can do just that, to repent. This really brings me to my next point. Holy Spirit is a person in the Trinity. Why do we say that? Why do we emphasize that God is three persons? Why that emphasis? Why do we say that? Well, we say that because he has feelings, he has personality, he has distinction. And as a person in the Trinity, he can be offended, he can be grieved. Did you know that? Did you know that your behavior can grieve the Holy Spirit. We find part of this in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 29. It says this, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." So not only are we called to obey Holy Spirit, who is God, we're also called to keep him in mind as we interact with other people, right? He's specifically challenging us in the way that we speak to one another. That's what we find here. So in other words, it's a big deal to God, the way that you think, the way that you talk, even in your quiet space. Sometimes this is a lie that we believe. We believe, well, if it's just with my spouse behind closed doors that I'm saying those bad things about other people, well, then it's okay. I have a license because that's like a different relationship. I want to submit to you, it's not okay. The Holy Spirit is deeply grieved about the way that we treat others, the way that we think, the things that come out of my mouth as it relates to our dealings with other people. There isn't a space that is available to you where you have license to step into sin in this way. That's a lie that so many have believed, even myself, at various times. No, he's deeply grieved in the way that we deal with others. He says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth." The word unwholesome there in the Greek is actually a word that's used to describe rotten fruit. Now, we know that fruit, obviously fruit sustains life. Fruit gives us energy. We become one with fruit. It goes on the inside. It provides nutrients that sustain my life. You know what fruit also does, though? It brings me a lot of joy. I say me, but it brings you joy too. And here's why, because it's nature's sugar. How many of you like sugar? Listen, we all like sugar, right? God literally provided something for you to be naturally sweet and healthy. Yeah, and the trees flower, so they're beautiful. I could go on. Listen, Jesus, he's so good. He's so generous. He's just extravagantly generous to us. But fruit was intended for you to consume, that it would bring life to you, that it would bring energy to you to be able to walk out your calling, and that it would bring joy to you. Now, how much of that is given to you with rotten fruit? So what you're saying is that if you were to eat rotten fruit, that it probably would not be agreeable with your stomach. Is that safe to say? You know, you would make a run. See what I did there? You'll get that in a few minutes. So rotten fruit actually doesn't bring life. It doesn't bring energy. It causes some problems. That rotten fruit doesn't bring me any joy. You know, how many of you know tomato is actually a fruit? Have you ever smelt rotten tomatoes? Oh my gosh, it's horrible. You can't even get it off your skin. It's grotesque. It's so filthy and nasty. I'm about to puke right now thinking about it. It's so disgusting. Rotten fruit doesn't build you up. Rotten fruit doesn't sustain life. Rotten fruit doesn't have the capacity to do any of those things that a good, wholesome, natural fruit has the ability. Are you starting maybe to get the picture of what we're talking about when we're speaking to unwholesome words proceeding out of your mouth? To be specific, we're talking about any words that come out of your mouth that hurt people, that don't bring life. And what are the ways that we can really understand what it's meaning by this rotten fruit is to put it into the context where it contrasts it with the word edifying. Remember that. Don't let anything come out of your mouth except that which is edifying. That means to build somebody up, to lift them up. So the words, the unwholesome words are things that would tear somebody down. They're things that, at very minimum, they don't build somebody up. They don't bring life to the hearer. But maybe they leave a bad taste in their mouth. Maybe it causes their stomach to turn just a little bit. But it's not doing what it's supposed to do. That's what it's talking about here, this rotten fruit, these unwholesome words proceeding out of our mouths. He continues his thought process through verse 31. And it begins to give us a list. Oh, I was reading my notes. I was like, what did I say? Sometimes you just shouldn't read your notes. It talks about bitterness. Most often we experience bitterness in the context of relationships. Wouldn't you agree? Like, where do you have bitterness that gets inside of your heart? It's with people. That's why I want to be on an island. Like, I just become a monk, man. But actually, monks have to deal with other monks. Forget it. I want to be on an island by myself, just me and Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, this me and you. I've got all the fruit of the Spirit. Look how amazing I am. This is so great, God. And then some tool bag jumps onto my island, and then I get frustrated and angry again. Okay, sorry. That's my own little scenario. I guess I was daydreaming there for a second. Here's the reality. Bitterness comes out usually in our relationships because we're walking in unforgiveness. That's where bitterness is stirred up on the inside of us. We're not walking in grace or forgiveness. We're walking in quite the opposite. That results in wrath and anger. This wrath actually, it can be likened unto retaliation. So in our relationship, as we're not walking on grace and forgiveness, we have this anger that rises up and then this sense of retaliation. And it's in this place that you and I often want to exchange evil for evil. Oh, you're going to do that. You're going to say that. Then I will go toe to toe with you and I will just, we will, you want to exchange evil for evil? Well, then we will do, because you have some sense of corrupted justice on the inside of you that says if that person struck you with pain, that you should strike them back with pain. Make them feel the pain. Remember that? Okay, it's just me. It's a movie quote. You'll get it later. Right? Guess who's coming for dinner or something like that? I don't know. It's an amazing movie. Keep that just in the back of your mind. Make them feel the pain. This is our process. That's what it's talking about. That wrath and the anger rising up in the context of relationship, making them feel the pain, exchanging evil for evil. It talks about getting rid of clamor and slander. So this is that point in your relationship where you start getting really loud and you start arguing back and forth with one another because in your sense of offense, I've been offended and you've hurt me with your words and now I'm going to get really loud and I'm going to make myself really big and intimidating and then I'm going to say something really stupid and probably something really mean. And you know what? Afterwards, when it's all done and said, you're going to be like, oh, I didn't really mean those things that I said. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Because it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. And all of that stuff was on the inside of you. Don't you lie. That stuff is on the inside of you. Oh, I didn't mean it. Yes, you did. Get that stuff cleaned out of you. Repent. And go to your partner right now, your spouse, and repent for those things that you said in haste and anger and retaliation because you wanted to hurt them in that moment because you were filled with wrath and anger and you were slanderous and you were filled with clamor. This is not the way of God. This is not the way of God. And if you're entering into that today in your relationships, you are grieving Holy Spirit. You're grieving Holy Spirit. I don't know why. I don't hear God. I don't hear Holy Spirit saying to go here and to do there. And that's so awesome how he tells Corey to do that stuff. How's your house? Do you have your home in order? Or does this list of stuff here describe what's happening when nobody else is looking? Does this list describe what's happening on the inside of your heart? Because I'm telling you, if that describes you, you're grieving Holy Spirit. And if you're grieving Holy Spirit, you're grieving God because Holy Spirit's God. And if you're grieving God in this way, you're entering into sin and he's actually beginning to retreat from you because he cannot trust you. I'm amazed the Bible says God can't even hear me if I'm treating my wife improperly. That's a pretty scary thought. If these things exist in your home, this is a time God's giving you to repent so that he can begin to forge new relationship and new trust with you so that you can enter into your destiny and so that the destiny of the kingdom can unfold through you as it expands in your obedience. Do these things exist in your home? It's time to clean house. It's time to sweep it clean. We're talking about God. Holy Spirit God, that should be a big deal to us.
Oh, it's just Holy Spirit. It's fine.
No, it's not fine. It should not be okay with us to walk away from that register. It should break us and move us to repentance. Something is wrong when we're not heeding that voice. We've been desensitized. We're grieving him. That should move us to adjust our behavior. See, love requires something in our natural relationships and in our spiritual relationships. Love actually looks like something. Do you really love God? Do you really love your spouse? Well, love looks like something. Or is it all just lip service? Oh, I really love God. I want you to pray for that cashier. I'm not going to do that. Because you love yourself more than you love God. The moment that I disobey and I exalt my own flesh and my own insecurities, over obedience to him is the moment that I'm declaring to him, I actually love me more than I love you. See, it's the fear of God. It's the fear of God. What's that scripture? The love scripture? I'm blanking out. Say it. Just say it. No, but say it. No. That's not it. Perfect love casts out all fear. That's what I was thinking of. Perfect love casts out all fear. I don't know what I was saying. I'm derailed now. I'm off. But that's all right. It happens to the best of us, and I am the best of us. No, I'm just absolutely joking. Somebody just shut off their YouTube right there. It should bother us that we're disobeying God. Listen, I really believe that we're in an hour of history here, an unprecedented hour where God is genuinely calling us to evaluate this conversation, what we're talking about this morning, to consider our lives, consider our history with God. Where are we at? Have we been disobedient? Am I not hearing him say anything to me anymore? Can he trust me? Am I willing to exalt my flesh over obedience to God? Am I willing to fear man more than I am fearing God? What results do I want to have in my life? How much do I really love God? He's calling us to evaluate these things because he's setting us up for something powerful to hit this earth, I believe, at Pentecost. Will you repent? Will you join with me? Will you pray? Will you seek his face? Will you say no to your flesh? Will you take this message seriously? Will you evaluate where you're at, your own heart? Is it worth it to you? That's the question I think I want to ask today. Why don't we pray? Jesus, we're moved by you this morning. We present our attitudes to you. Our hard attitudes towards you, Holy Spirit. Our hard attitude towards people. We bring it back to you. Would you forgive us for those times when we've been disobedient, God? Where we have heard the still small voice, oh, you're so gracious. This is not condemning us. You're so gracious. You're so kind to us. You understand how we're discerning and how we're, through practice, learning to discern your voice, to hear you better. But boy, some of us, God, we've sustained a season of telling you no for so long. We've just grieved your heart deeply. Would you forgive us, God? Would you forgive us for that? Would you forgive us for the way that we have treated people? You declared once and for all that those who are around me are priceless because you paid for the whole world. And yet, God, I have not treated them as such. I've complained. I've gossiped. I've been confrontational when I shouldn't. Scoffed and haven't dealt with people in the way that you have called us to, God. We repent of that this morning. Would you forgive us for our dealings with people, God? Forgive us for not walking in the same grace that you modeled Jesus in your earthly ministry. We submit our lives into your hands, God. And Holy Spirit, in this introduction to you, this, we just acknowledge this morning that you're fully God. You're not the silent member of the Trinity to be ignored. You're not just the one who's our helper. Somehow you support us, that you serve us. That's how we've relegated you. Would you forgive us for our wrong view of you? And you've been God the whole time. Forgive us for our misconceptions, but we invite you. Would you rewrite the programming on the inside? Would you rewrite the way that we see you, God? Would you open up eyes to truth in this series? We want to know you, Holy Spirit. We want to know you like we know Father. We want to know you like we know Jesus. We want to know you, Holy Spirit. We want to have a relationship with you. We want to know how you work. We want to partner with you. We don't want to ignore you. So open our eyes, the eyes of our spirit to this, as we jump into excavating the truths of this reality of who you really are, God. We're asking that you would destroy the reels of tape, the lies that we've believed contrary. Just destroy it, God. All of the erroneous viewpoints, how we've related to you. We invite you, would you destroy it as we press forward in this series, this last leg of the God series, God. Would you do that? We love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We love you, God. We love you. We want all of you. We don't despise any part of you or what you bring. And God, we just say, even maybe preemptively for some, we're not afraid of you, Holy Spirit. We're not afraid of you, and we trust you. We extend trust to you this morning. We trust your leaning, your guidance. We trust that you're never going to throw us to wolves when you're asking us to pray in front of people or whatever it is. That you're not going to throw us to wolves. We trust you that you have our best in mind. And we lean into that, God. That's your character. In Jesus' mighty name. Hey, thank you for joining us this morning. We so appreciate it, and really we're in awe of the many who have been joining us on Sunday mornings. We just bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless every household. They would be healthy and strong. They would be well provided for. That you would show yourself extravagantly large over them in this season. And Jesus, that they would get everything that you have for them in this hour. And Father, we're asking preemptively, would you visit us on Pentecost or before, whenever you want to do it, God, but we're asking for a holy visitation from you in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, have a great Sunday. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to contact us or would like more information about our church or additional podcasts or resources, please visit us online at harvestwarrensburg.com. We hope to see you soon.